Hey, man, you all right?
I've been better, mate, Tom said. Immediately he heard the accent of his countryman, Rick Stevenson, the only British hostage. Are you English?
Yes, mate.
Finally, his eyes adjusted. He looked around and saw a group of 10 hostages.
Where are the others?
What? Someone asked.
The other hostages,
Rose clarified.
There's another cell next to this one. How...
Before the hostage could finish asking his question, Tom pressed his mud-caked finger to his lips.
Listen up, he whispered. You're being rescued today, so be very quiet and do as I say.
Tom was surprised over the silence that followed, but perhaps they thought this new hostage was a bit off his rocker.
I'm part of a rescue team, which is ready to pounce in about 30 minutes, so listen to me and do not speak,
Rose said as forcible as he could while whispering.
You,
he said to one of the hostages as he pointed towards him with his chin.
Untie me.
Jim Bourgeois didn't hesitate as he crawled over to Tom Rose and began to untie him. But without a knife or any other tools, he needed more help. So Jim was soon joined by Scott Almeida and one of the Colombian hostages as they began to yank and pull at Rose's restraints, until finally, after a few minutes, they had freed Rose, an offense punishable by, at a minimum, a severe beating. His hands freed, Tom rubbed his wrists in a failed attempt to soothe the burning feeling left from the rope rubbing up and down his sweaty wrists during the long march. He then put his hands into his pants and dug towards his crotch, freeing the Uzi pistol from concealment. At the sight of the Uzi, the hostages began to believe the oft-dreamed rescue was really happening. Ignoring his earlier edict to be quiet, some of the hostages began to pepper him with questions. Tom again motioned with his free hand for the group to be quiet and ordered them to stay down by waving his hand down towards the ground. It took a few waves of the hand before all the hostages had laid down on the dirt floor, face down, with their hands covering the back of their heads as instructed. At the 25-minute mark, it was time. The faux FARC team was now relaxing with their new comrades. They had everyone enthralled with their made-up story about the capture of the supposed British diplomat. Not to be outdone by these new troops, El Comandante interrupted, speaking over the men to tell his story of how they were on a routine patrol when suddenly they saw an airplane fall from the sky. From a distance, the ragtag band of armed revolutionaries looked like a Boy Scout troop telling camp stories. All that was missing was the campfire and the s'mores. But the storytelling time came to an abrupt end, with a series of loud bangs, which caused the rebels to crouch down and cover their ringing ears from the deafening blast of the concussion grenades, which were then followed by smoking cylinder canisters spitting out thick clouds of tear gas that began to cover the camp, blanketing it with its suffocating fumes. The rebels scattered in utter chaos like cockroaches hiding from the light as they all reached for their weapons, their ears ringing and bleeding from the concussion grenades. They blinked wildly as they tried to see through the thick clouds of smoke, but they were unable to focus as their eyes and throats burned from the tear gas. In the mayhem, the rebels didn't even notice their faux comrades turning their weapons on them as they opened fire, mowing them down in mid-scramble in a hail of bullets. Although the rescue team had been trained to withstand the tear gas, without protective masks it was too much. Snot and tears flowed from their faces, but they were able to take out their targets and take cover as the incoming assault team with their gas masks continued advancing past them into the rebel encampment.
"Stay down! Stay down!"
Tom yelled as he maneuvered himself into position. He had his Uzi pistol pointing at the door, waiting to kill any FARC rebels who dared walk through it. They could hear the fierce firefight outside, then the sound of helicopters. Maddox and the Delta team were the first to reach the campsite, providing much-needed support to the infiltration team. They opened fire on anyone touching a weapon, but the concussion grenades and the first attack from Tom Rose's team seemed to quell a serious counterattack. They quickly took out the central command, including Comandante Zoltan, leaving him mortally wounded on the ground. Tom Rose was still locked in the shed with the hostages when he heard the chain and lock clanking outside. He could hear men screaming.
"Apúrate! Abre la puerta!"
Hurry up and open the door!